Hey girl, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast. I'm registered dietitian and weight loss expert, Constance Shelby. I've helped thousands of women eat the foods they love while losing weight. I'm here to talk all things weight loss and women because you know it's never just about the food. So whether you're praying before a healthy home-cooked meal or driving the struggle bus right on through that drive-thru, sit with me and let's say grace. Oftentimes when we decide to lose weight, we can avoid thinking about how we will maintain our progress during special traditions, holidays, or other fun celebrations. We can tell ourselves we'll have enough willpower when the time comes, but the problem with this is that these events will come, and when they do, it can feel impossible to power through. This struggle can drive people to give up on themselves if they aren't careful. Today, I'm diving in on why this happens, and then next week, we're going to talk about how to navigate celebrations when trying to lose. Hey, y'all. Okay, so I am back after just a little week break. It was crazy town over here. We had so much going on for spring break and all, you know, all the fun things. And so I just decided to take a break. And also, I know some of my ladies are like, Constance, these podcasts are so long, I got to catch up. So I knew y'all would have, something to catch up on. So I felt like this was the perfect timing to talk about this topic, just about weight loss and kind of traditions and celebrations. Because number one, if you follow me on social, on Instagram or Facebook at Perfect Fit Nutrition, then you saw that I went out of town. We went out of town with some friends for spring break. And then we had the rest of the week with our kids, and we just did some fun things that involved fun traditions, fun food, okay? And so I felt like that this was a great time to talk about this topic. And not only that, but we're headed into Easter. Okay. We just wrapped up Mardi Gras, which in the South, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. And we're heading into the summer. And so I know that summer can be crazy for a lot of us, just, you know, different things happening each week, fun vacations, fun celebrations, you know, the weather's getting nicer, makes us think about, you know, grilling out and having maybe a cold glass of white wine or whatever it may be for you. And so while I can see that a lot of people start their weight loss focus at the beginning of the year and they're super, you know, disciplined and focused, it can feel a lot harder as we head into things like, the summer or holidays. And so today I just kind of want to talk about why it can feel harder, like the deep roots of why this can feel harder, because I think for a lot of us, we don't quite understand that it's not just our personal struggle, our personal problem. I think a lot of people are unaware of the brain and food connection and how it's not just you, sis, it's the way we were wired, okay? And so what actually kind of triggered me to think to come up with this topic is my family is planning Easter. Okay, and so my dad's side of the family, my grandmother's side of the family, actually, so my dad's mom, y'all, it is a huge family. Like, we have a humongous family. And so since I was a baby, that side of the family has always celebrated Easter together. So we call it Easter and family reunion together. So the entire, my mama has like seven siblings, and like the entire family, their grandchildren, like great grandchildren, even at this point, like we all come together and we celebrate Easter. We do a big Easter egg hunt, and literally it's the only time we see some of these people for an entire year. And so it is, we've been talking about it because since COVID, it's kind of been hit or miss as far as where it can be and who can host it, how it can go. Prior to COVID, we had it on repeat. We knew where we were having it, who was hosting, you know, who's bringing what, that kind of thing. But since COVID, it's kind of thrown us off. So We were in conversations about this a few weeks ago, and it just made me think about how, because my sisters and I were wondering at one point, oh my gosh, are we even going to get to have it this year? And that made us all very sentimental and like, you know, oh no, you know. I'm tickled talking about it because, y'all, my dad was like offering my backyard. I'm like, all right, Jess, you ready to host like 80 people? Out here in this backyard. But that's how, you know, we would have, because that's how, and we might end up having to in the years to come. But I mean, that's how sentimental and valued this experience is for our family every year. And so thinking about it though, I was just like, as I was thinking about the event, the tradition, I immediately began to think about the food. Okay, it was like we were not talking about food, you know, but I immediately began to think about the food because we do the same thing every single year. We cater barbecue on Easter, okay, and everyone brings a dessert, and there is always going to be a banana pudding, and there is always going to be a cake, and there is always going to be like a strawberry type dessert. Oh my gosh, my grandmother and one of my grandmother's sisters, they are always going to make homemade ice cream. Okay, and y'all, my grandmother's 90 and she's still pulling out this homemade ice cream, you know? My brain immediately went to the food. And so as I'm thinking about it, you know, I am comfortable there. I'm comfortable with my brain thinking of this tradition and then immediately thinking about the food. Like, I'm not going to shame myself for that. But that's not always been the case, you know, especially back when I was becoming a dietitian, when I was, you know, younger, trying to lose weight, but not really understanding like how weight loss and thoughts around this delicious food could go hand in hand. And so I know that that is where a lot of my listeners, a lot of my clients even still are, okay, because it's, you cannot overnight change your mindset around food when you have kind of viewed food as the villain up until this point. Like, the food is the reason you have, you know, bigger size pants, and food is the reason you've gained 10 pounds, and food, you know, so when we put the label of villain on the food, it is extremely hard to then also be able to say, oh, but traditions and food, and it's all okay, you know? And so I want to talk about this today in a manner of giving you, maybe, I firmly believe this is how my program is set up. This is how all my clients kind of work through with us. I believe when you have a solid foundation of knowledge about a topic, and then you begin to take action while you know that, while you are learning that foundation, it becomes easier to walk out in the future, right? Like, you can't, this is why all these fad diets, or, you know, I'm not shaming the shot or anything else, but if you are doing something that does not come with foundation, it does not come with, you know, sure, yeah, you can give yourself the shot and you can curb your hunger, you know, but if it's not paired with the actual knowledge about food, like the knowledge that comes with making choices around food and why that knowledge matters, okay? It's not a checklist. You're not following somebody else's rules, okay? You have to understand the rule, and then you have to know why you are making the choice, right? And so I believe this about everything. If you don't have that foundation of knowledge, then whatever you're doing to attempt to make a change will not last. So you've got to have that foundation. And so for, you know, a lot of us trying to lose weight, my clients specifically, they are learning the foundations of weight loss. They are learning the ins and outs of food. But there's a different side of that. And it's also like the mind, the brain, okay? There is a foundation to be known there about how our brain and our stomachs essentially connect. Okay. They are not two separate things. As hard as we want to say, you know, I can look at a candy bar and not even want to eat it, like that's impossible for most of us. Okay. Because our brains and our stomachs are very connected. Okay. And so today I want to talk a little bit deeper on that topic, specifically when it comes to traditions and celebrations and eating. Okay. Because it is a thing. We are not going to be robots. And I just think it is really important for you to kind of be freed up, like break those chains, like understand, okay, this is why I've always blown it on Halloween, or this is why I've always blown it on Valentine's Day. Okay. Because we think like when we try to convince ourselves, I'm not going to eat that Halloween candy. I'm not going to eat that Halloween candy. I'm not going to eat that Halloween candy. And then we eat it anyway. We can feel like a failure. But if we understand why we ate it anyway, it changes the game. It changes your mindset. And so this is what we're going to talk about today. Okay, so I'm going to hit on three main reasons that food and holidays, traditions, celebrations are related and connected, okay? So the first one is that food connects us to our roots, okay? And this is different for every single person across the board, okay? Our roots are different. We are all different, right? And so we, like, y'all, when we were 4, 6, 8, whatever, we didn't have control over our food, right? Our families did, our parents did. Okay, and so there are traditions in your life that happened that connects you to your heritage, to your culture, to your personal experiences. So for instance, Jess grew up, his family, they had Sunday dinner every Sunday. Okay, after church on Sunday, they would all go to it was usually his aunt's house, or I think it was his grandmother's house for a little while, and then it became his aunt's house. And like, it was the biggest, most Southern dinner that I've ever experienced, y'all. Like, it was heaven every Sunday afternoon. Every Sunday afternoon was heaven. You know what I mean? And so he grew to expect this as an adult. And so, excuse me. And so that is something that was a part of his personal life, a part of his culture. Now, me, I did not grow up with Sunday dinner every Sunday, okay? So when I am going with Jess, you know, when we started dating, when I'm going with him to this experience or this family tradition, it didn't seem as normal to me as it did to him. I mean, to him, it was just like casual, like common knowledge. Like, it's Sunday, we're going over to Aunt Cynthia's or whatever it was. And so, so in that same regard, I am Greek. I'm Greek Orthodox, okay? And so we practiced, growing up, we practiced all these different Greek traditions. I posted about it on my stories last week about how my mom was making a special Greek dish for dinner for my sister's birthday. And I was not going to miss it because we get that dish like a couple times a year max. It's so delicious. Mom puts so much time and effort into this dish. And so it is special to me. Now, Jess might look at that dish. It's called pastizo. And I mean, it's kind of like spaghetti-ish, but it's way better than spaghetti, y'all. Like a spaghetti lasagna thing, but the noodles are different. It's just so dang good. And I'm not really even a spaghetti girl, but this is so good. Now, Jess could look at that as just like another dinner or whatever. But to me and my sisters, we cherish that meal because it shows our culture. It reminds us of, you know, special occasion. It is something that we have grown to love because of our culture, right? And we know that it is not, it's special. It's special because we don't get it all the time, okay? And so these are two different traditions, but if you, and I mean, in the day-to-day, you're thinking like, okay, yeah, Constance, whatever. He had Sunday supper and I have, you know, pastizo dinners. But those are also associated with emotions, with our family, with our heritage, okay? Just as Aunt Cynthia is no longer with us, so those Sunday dinners are so cherished, okay? There are certain things that she would make that they still, if someone else is going to make that recipe, they are all going to indulge in it, and they are going to just really enjoy that moment, okay? Regardless of how many calories are in it, regardless of if they've worked out today, you know what I mean? And so it's the same for me. I chose to enjoy to enjoy that pastizo, even though I had just been on like a 5-day food and drink vacation. You know, I had overeaten pretty much every day. You know, I still chose, I'm going to enjoy this pastizo, y'all. There is no way that I was going to be able to walk into my mother's house and sit down and eat and not eat this recipe that my mother made, that is my deceased grandmother's recipe, that we have used as a celebration type food forever. There is no way I was going to be able to sit down and say, no thanks, I'll pass. I need to lose weight instead. No matter how strong I thought I was, no matter how disciplined I was intending to be. Okay. And so if we are doing that, if we are trying to do that, oftentimes the only way that we win, like the only way that I would have won the battle, you know, and sat down and not eaten the food would have been if I shamed myself to death into thinking you're too fat, you need to lose weight, you don't need to enjoy that, and then suffered. That's called suffering, okay? So that is shame and then suffering around food. And that is a whole separate like psychological, you know, discussion, but that is not how we see weight loss and then maintenance of that weight loss. A lot of people can go there. A lot of people can say like, I'm disciplined, I'm going to lose this weight and sit down at a table like that with their traditional food that they would usually eat and enjoy and love, and they can shame themselves into not eating it, but it backfires. It backfires a week later, a month later, I don't know, but it backfires. And then you in your mentality, you go the whole opposite way. You say, okay, screw it all. I'm going to eat all the pastizo. I'm going to eat all the fried chicken. I'm going to eat all the banana pudding, like whatever it is that you shamed yourself out of before. It's like a mental block. You decide, no, that sucked. And I'm tired of talking negatively to myself about my body weight around food. So I'm going to go completely the opposite way. This is why we see so many people be so disciplined in their weight loss and lose the weight, and then they completely go off the rails because they have mentally shamed themselves so much that they finally throw in the towel. They give it up and they're like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy my life and get, you know, regain the weight probably plus some. Okay. And so because I kind of just got off on a tangent, but this is so, y'all, I feel this in my soul. This is so true. And it's upsetting though, because people that go there mentally, they're not on the back end saying, gosh, I was too hard on myself during that time. Maybe I should try again. You know, they just kind of avoid the topic of weight loss completely because they refuse to give up, you know, the traditional foods that they love so much that they had previously shamed themselves about. And so it does not have to be that way. And this is why in our program, yeah, girl, you may not lose, you know, 3, 4, 5 pounds a week. Because if you tell me you are going on a beach vacation with your family that you've done every year since you were 10 or whatever, and you really want to eat some crab legs, and you really want to eat, you know, whatever, you want to have the bushwhacker at the place you love so much, like all that, I'm going to say, have it, do it, go for it. Come on home and we'll get right back to it. Okay, because there is such a fine line between losing weight to feel better, to look better, to feel more comfortable in your skin, right? Versus losing weight out of such a deep discipline that it is really rooted in shame. And you've got to get out of that shame, you know, focus in order to actually lose the weight and continue to keep it off. Okay, so food connects us to our roots. So there are things about your childhood, about your past, about your heritage, whatever it may be, that, you know, when you see it, when you hear about it, when you eat it, it takes you right back to who you are as a person, who, you know, how you were raised. And so this is a really deep thing. It is not something that you can quit. It is not something that you can undo. It is there. And it is something that you need to learn to embrace, specifically if you are going to try to lose weight in a healthy and balanced manner. Okay, so next, food is connected to our emotional memory. Okay. So while it's connected to our roots, it is, so while, you know, things that like pastizo, for instance, like you could go, just like I said, Jess can sit down with pastizo and choose to have it or not. Like it's not a heritage thing for him. But in the same sense, it's also a part of our emotional memory. Okay, so things of our past can trigger memories, and then memories recreate the emotions associated. In fact, okay, I'm gonna say it again, first of all, things of our past can trigger memories. And it's not even like a, it's not even, you don't even have to really know what's happening in your brain for this to be happening. Things of our past can trigger memories, and memories recreate the emotions associated with whatever that thing may be. Okay. This is why you could walk past a woman and smell her scent and immediately think about, you know, your teacher from third grade who changed your life, or, you know, your grandmother, or whatever it may be. This is why you can walk into a room that you haven't been in 20 years, but you've been there, you know, and all these emotions flood back. Okay. It's just part of it. It's really such a cool thing. And food is actually one of the strongest memory triggers we can have. Okay. Taste memories are some of the strongest memories that we can have because it involves all five senses. Okay. It's not just something we see or something we smell. It's all five, typically. Think about it, you know? Okay, so if your mom, think about this. If your mom, no, let's say your grandma made fried chicken every Sunday. Let's say it's kind of like Jess's tradition, okay? If your grandma made fried chicken every Sunday, all right, so then you walk in to some random person's house, all right? But she is frying chicken actively. Okay. You are looking at that grease bubbling. Okay. You are hearing it pop. Okay. And then eventually she's going to put it on a plate. Oh, you're definitely, first of all, you're smelling it. Okay. So you've got the sight, the hearing, the smelling, and then eventually she's going to put it on a plate and serve it up to you. Okay. Then you're going to touch it and you're going to taste it. That is all five senses. Okay. And so if you walk into someone's house who's frying chicken and you have these great deep memories of your grandma frying chicken in her house, you are immediately going to go back there. Okay. Whether you consciously know that or not, it may feel physically impossible to say no to that fried chicken, no matter how much weight you're trying to lose, girl, no matter how hard, you know, you've already kind of blown it out this week or whatever, it will feel almost painful to say no to that fried chicken when it has such a strong association with your grandma's house. Okay, your grandma who you loved, who cuddled you, who treated you like a little princess, who, you know, her passing was, I'm talking about death a lot on this one, but it's so important, y'all, it's such a thing. But, you know, her passing was so traumatic to you or whatever, okay? It can feel physically impossible to say no to that fried chicken. And I know that sounds silly because it's food, right? We're just like, it's just food. It's just food. But no, baby, it is not just food. And as much as we want our brains to just be like, it's just food, our brain is not going to, because it is going to pull up all those memories. It is going to trigger all those emotions that you had as a child or as an adult or whatever it might be, and bring them right to the surface. Okay. And so then all you want in the world is to just sit there and eat a bite or two or three or 12 of that fried chicken, right? And feel just a little bit closer to your grandma for just a minute. And so I'm telling you that this is normal. You do not get to leave your friend's house who was just frying that chicken and shame yourself and, you know, be down on yourself, because this is normal. This is your brain. Your brain did that. You have no control, whether you think you do or not. You have no control over those memories flooding in that way. Okay. Unless you go see a therapist and really work on, you know, I don't know any therapist that would, I don't know, maybe they would, but, you know, work specifically on controlling, you know, triggers from memories. This is just how it is, right? So it can be a good thing. If it's viewed as a special treat, right? For instance, like if you see, you know, I don't know, some of these old school candies do that to me. Like there are these sticks at Cracker Barrel. Okay, I don't even know what they're really called. They look like a candy cane without the little hook on the top, but they're all different flavors. And my favorite flavor was Tutti Frutti growing up. Okay, my family frequented Cracker Barrel, And my daddy always bought me these Tutti Frutti sticks, okay? And every time we go to Cracker Barrel now, Jess will grab them for me. Now, half the time I eat them, half the time I don't. But it's just a thing that it matters to me. It's a memory to me, okay? It's a special treat, and I want to relive that. Like, the whole, like, going up there, getting a few by, and I'm like, that whole thing happened when I was young, and, like, I want to relive that experience, right? So if it's viewed as a special treat, it's our innate reaction to want to relive that, not just the food, right? Because, yeah, I'll probably eat one or two and, like, you know, bathe in the nostalgia, but then I kind of forget about them, you know. But it's just the whole experience as a whole at Cracker Barrel. I like those, and it's associated with a sweet memory for me. And so it can be something positive, right, when it's viewed as a special treat, like the grandmother's fried chicken, for instance, you know. Or this is on the flip side. If like growing up you were shamed or ridiculed for overeating a certain food, you know, now it still triggers memories, right? But now as an adult, depending on which way we've kind of gone with it, we can either rebel and eat that food as a means of, like, sticking it to the man, whoever the man was that shamed you, okay? Or we can shy away and sneak it or avoid it because we feel that shame. That same shame from when we were 8 years old eating French fries and our aunt told us that, you know, French fries make you fat or whatever it may be. You can still feel that underlying level of shame associated with that memory, associated with those emotions, associated with how he or she made you feel about that food. Okay, you can go one way or the other. You can rebel and be like, watch this, Aunt Susie, I'm about to eat these, you know, French fries, you know. Or you can feel certain shame around certain food items that, like, you may, you know, eat in private. Or, you know, you may just try to steer clear 100% from. And so these are all things that, like, it's different for everyone, right? And so if like this is really resonating with you, or you feel like it's a really serious problem, I do recommend seeing a therapist. Y'all, I posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and I asked about, you know, what are your hardest struggles with food? And so many people said they just, like, they think about food all the time. They're not even hungry. They obsess over specific foods, this, that, and the other. Y'all, this, like, I don't know your whole life. I don't know your whole story. And honestly, I'm not qualified to, you know, be the emotional and mental counselor. But I do know that a lot of that probably has to do with these things I'm talking about, these memories, these experiences, these emotions, this shame, or these, you know, nostalgia situations around food, and they have to be addressed. It is not something you can brush under the rug. It is not, because as long as I live, we're probably going to go to Cracker Barrel, you know, unless it shuts down. And so as long as I live, I'm going to want to look at them sticks. And so if they cause a negative reaction in me, that would be so hard. You know, it's as long as you live, you might walk in a restaurant and see some French fries on somebody's plate. And so that is going to trigger that emotion time and time. And you cannot avoid French fries forever, right? Or whatever it might have been that caused this emotion or this negative or positive feeling. And so if it feels so heavy and so strong, it is something to be dealt with. You know, we want to make it so black and white, but it's not. Food and emotions and your brain, it is not black and white. And so until you accept that and stop saying stupid things like, well, I'm just not going to ever go to Cracker Barrel again. Or, well, if somebody's eating fried chicken, I'm going to ask them to put it away. Like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You know what I mean? And so until we accept that we have to do the work to get over whatever that is causing such trauma mentally, it's never going to change, right? So on the flip side of this, I think this is like a really unique way to think about it, okay? Because, you know, I know it could sound like woo-woo, kind of what I'm saying right now, but think about if you've ever gotten food poisoning, okay? So it's so funny because on this trip we went on, one of my girlfriends that was there, we both ordered these. They were like, it was like a quesadilla, but it had pulled pork inside. And we were both eating it, and she looked at me and she said, "Constance, this is awful. How are you eating this?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me? This is so freaking good. This is delicious." And so I'm like inhaling mine, and she hardly ate hers. So then next thing you know, she's ordering something else. And I was like, "What is the deal? Like, I thought this was so good." And she said, "I should not have gotten this. I should not have ordered this." And I was like, "What do you mean?" She said, "So like 2 months ago, I had barbecue and I got food poisoning." She said, it was the worst food poisoning I've ever gotten. She said, "I was down for like a week. It took me over a week to recover." And she said, "I have not really had barbecue since, but I thought surely now, 2 months later, this item on the menu sounded good. And I thought, hey, maybe I'm over it." And then when she got it in front of her, she was not over it, y'all. All that negative experience came back to her brain, to her memory, to her emotions, and she literally could not eat it. And so, you know, think about that. And that was 2 months ago. Her stomach was fully recovered. She thought she could handle it mentally, right? She thought she could handle it mentally when she ordered it, but then all those taste memories came back, right? All those five senses, the taste, the smell, the touch, the sight, okay? All of it came back. And when it was in front of her, her body responded. It was like, "No, ma'am, no, thank you. I cannot eat this." So think about it. I'm sure, you know, you've had an experience like that where you've had food poisoning or, you know, a stomach bug after eating a certain food. I remember as a child, I think I got a stomach bug after my mom made spaghetti. It was like my last meal before I got sick, y'all. I could not eat spaghetti for a solid year. And even still to this day, I do not make spaghetti regularly for my family. Like I just said it a minute ago. It's not something that I just really enjoy anymore. And so that is how strong our brains are. That is how strong our brain-body connection is. Okay? There was nothing about that food that was the same as what she got food poisoning from 2 months ago, but it still triggered so much negativity that she could not consume it. Okay, and so it's the same in this way of our emotions or our childhood or just past memories that can resurface. They can feel just as strong as her body rejecting that barbecue that day at our dinner, okay? So this is why sometimes it can just literally be physically and mentally impossible to pass up certain food items, okay, specifically around weight loss. As strong as her negative connection was with that food, it can be just as strong of a positive connection depending on the memories associated, okay? Our brains are insane, y'all. I say it all the time, but our brains they are incredible. But it's mind-blowing sometimes how strong our brains and bodies can connect and you know, react in a way. So the third reason that, you know, food and experiences, celebrations are connected and why it matters and why we just need to know about it, you know, is social interaction. Okay? Social interaction, a positive social experience, produces endorphins. It feels good. Y'all think about it. Like when I was just talking earlier about summer and, you know, a cold glass of white wine or grilling out or crawfish or whatever, okay, it immediately sparks positive feelings. Okay, it immediately gives you that light inside where you are excited, okay? You are happy. You are, you know, you feel joy. And so that social interaction can do that, okay? And so with a lot of our social interactions are around food. Majority of them involve food, especially in the South, y'all. We are not having people over or going out with people or whatever without some kind of food being involved. And that is normal. It is fine. It is acceptable. The worst thing on the planet, I cannot stand to see someone making a recommendation for weight loss and it being things like skip the lunch with your coworkers, you know, or make your own XYZ and bring it. Like those are, that is torture. That is absolute torture when we are mentally connecting shared experiences, shared food, with social interaction. You are immediately isolating yourself if you show up to a friend's house who has had a cookout and has made all these delicious things to entertain her guests, and you're like, oh no, thank you. I brought my own salad in my Tupperware. Like that is, that talk about, you know, disconnect. Talk about emotional disconnect with friends or family or whatever. And so, and again, if you have to do that for food allergies or, you know, food preferences, whatever, that's fine. But it is, I'm talking specifically about weight loss. People understand it when it's a food allergy, right? They do not understand it when it's for weight loss, okay? And so it immediately, you feel that you yourself can feel like, oh, you know, they are judging me or whatever. And it just creates this whole negative experience around your weight loss attempt in general. Okay. And that's not what we want. We want you losing weight while also feeling the most normal, the most, you know, fluid, the easiest experience is while you are trying to lose weight. And so this is why food is so connected with experience, because yes, your experience is surrounding other people, but it's surrounding food as well. And so, yeah, you're enjoying food with each other. You both are enjoying the same flavors, the same textures, the same thing. I mean, how much conversation have you heard around food, about food? And, you know, that's why I love a cheese board. I love a cheese board. It immediately makes me, Justin and I do cheese boards all the time because it makes me feel more connected to him. I know, and I know it's hard to explain, but it does, because it's something we are sharing. And when we share things with other people, we feel a bond with other people, okay? And when you feel a bond with other people, you immediately feel more loved, more, you know, well fit, more, you know, satisfied, more happy, okay? You do not feel shame, okay? And so this is why, you know, a lot of people can say things like, I'm going to go to this dinner, but I'm really going to just eat this. This is, oh my gosh, like girls' night, okay? They'll be like, I'm going to go to girls' night, but I'm trying to lose weight, so I'm only going to get a salad. I am not going to have a margarita, you know, whatever. And so they pull up and they're so proud and confident in this. And then they sit down with their girlfriends, and every one of their girlfriends orders, you know, the chimichanga or the enchilada. And they're all eating chips and dip and having their margs, and they're so happy. And then what do? We cave. Because we feel such a strong pull to bond, to enjoy that food, to enjoy it to the fullest with them. Right? And so it's so upsetting, because a lot of times women can go away from girls' night and shame themselves over that. But why? You connected with your girlfriends who, if you're as crazy busy as me, that doesn't get to happen very often, right? So yeah, maybe your pants won't be smaller next week, but your heart will be fuller. Okay, and it all matters. You cannot deprive your heart and your brain and all the things just to fit into smaller pants. That will leave you empty and miserable, you know? So it is okay to say, food can be pleasurable. I can enjoy this with my people. I can enjoy this time, okay? It is not wrong to enjoy eating. It is not wrong to connect experience with food. Okay, it is not wrong to connect food with our roots or food with emotional memories. Okay, there is a healthy balance for all of it, and there is room there in your weight loss. Okay, and so yeah, I know that this sounds awesome. It sounds like yes, yes, yes. But you're like, but still, how do I handle celebrations? How do I handle girls' night? How do I handle XYZ? Enjoy the experience, enjoy the memories, all of that, but also still make sure that I stay within the lines, that I don't just completely blow it all or blow it out of the water, or that like I don't give up on myself completely after. And so we're going to talk about that next week. But yeah, guys, I hope you enjoy this. This is a topic, again, I am so passionate about it, because no one's talking about it. No one's talking about, you know, the brain and how that affects our food choices. You know, no one talks about once, you know, the fad diet's over, once you stop taking the pills, once you stop, you know, taking the shot, like then where does that leave your mindset and your food choices, and how do you navigate? And to me, it's the missing link. It is what so many people are missing and why they are regaining this weight. So come on back next week for the next episode of Say Grace Podcast, and even more extra, extra, extra after today's episode, y'all remember to say grace. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Say Grace Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. Also, make sure to follow the show so you don't miss another episode. Plus, if you're interested in learning more about losing weight and eating the food you love, make sure to subscribe to my email list by going to perfectfitnutrition.com. See ya!